Hello, this is Jean St. Peter with the commercial news, the news of Vermilion County, for Friday, February 28th. We'll begin with the story on the front page. We all are connected. The mission of the dwelling place is to serve individuals who are homeless, those near homelessness, and those living in poverty who struggle with meeting daily needs. Since the Dwelling Place started in April 2017 and formed as a nonprofit organization in October 2017, volunteers have talked about opening a drop-in day center for friends without addresses. The Dwelling Place's goal: our friends will receive a kind word, a smile, a hot cup of coffee, and a snack, a place to shower and do laundry, a warm or cool place in which to rest and help making connections. After those 3 years of planning, the Dwelling Place of Vermilion County's Board of Directors will open the first daytime center in the county on Monday in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church at 100 North Franklin Street. It will be open 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Mondays and Fridays. The day center will have its own entrance to the church basement off Franklin Street. The day center will serve as a home for the day, for those who need daytime shelter, for those living in extremes of poverty, who struggle with meeting basic needs, and for those who seek assistance with changing their lives. The day center takes up about 2,900 square feet of space in the church and will offer a day room for social interaction and making connection with others and having the comforts of home to relax, including recliners and tables and chairs, family room with books, toys and games for parents to be with their children while washing clothes or while other family members are participating in activities at the center. Technology and education lab with laptops and internet access to search for housing and jobs, fill out socials and government forms, and build computer skills. Kitchen, where there will be pre-packaged food available to be served to those who come in hungry. Laundry products and facilities. Three shower facilities and also hygiene products, a volunteer area, and closet area for persons to change into clean clothes when needed. And a barber shop. Showers will cost $1, but persons will get the $1 back if they prepare the shower area for the next person. Washing a load of laundry also will cost $1. The Dwelling Place Board President, Donna Eddington, said that money will help with the center's expenses. Only some touch-ups were needed at the church for the day center, Eddington said, such as providing the shower and laundry facilities. Eddington said that they've received donations from various sources for the day center, such as a coffee urn from the Danville Sunrise Rotary Club, and donated barber equipment from one of the volunteers, Ryan Ferrero. She said they are waiting on funding to finish furnishing the day room. Those in need can come and just interact with the others and the volunteers, Eddington said about the day room. She said the day room will have a deck of cards, games, reading materials, and a television. Transients don't have a place to relax. The Dwelling Place has received a $15,000 homeless grant through Community Development Block Grant funding from the city. The funding is to assist with buying physical goods to better serve those who are utilizing their space, according to the Danville Grants and Planning Manager, Logan Kronk. It is a fantastic agency, said Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. For the Day Center's barbershop, Ferrero will give haircuts to men and boys from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the first Friday of the month and the third Monday of the month. The free haircuts are open to anybody living in Vermilion County with a link card or whose income needs meets the federal government's poverty guidelines. You must bring an ID proving Vermilion County residency and link card or proof of income. For appointments, call 217-213-5308. Our ultimate mission is to transform lives, Eddington said. The Dwelling Place Board realizes some people don't want to change and are comfortable with where they are at. However, many want more. We want to help them get there, Eddington said. The Dwelling Place's two main programs at the Day Center are WASH, which stands for Wellness, Always Support Hygiene, and provides daily living necessities such as laundry detergent and fabric sheets and shower products, and the Building Connections program provides opportunities to connect with employment, housing, and other needs and the community. In addition to offering computers and free internet, there will also be 20 cell phones available. The Building Connections 2020 Award Program offers people the opportunity to earn a cell phone and minutes in exchange for community service. Eddington said some people can complete 20 volunteer hours at the Dwelling Place's Day Center or Pantry or with another nonprofit with program coordinator approval to earn a cell phone. For another 20 volunteer hours, the person can earn 1 year of service for the phone. There are application qualifications for the cell phone program. It's about building connections, Eddington said, about what the Dwelling Place continues to work toward. We all are connected. She said those who are homeless or living in poverty can feel isolated, forgotten, and invisible. She said they want to help those people. Eddington said the Day Center will be a welcoming, accepting place with welcoming volunteers. There are 6 different volunteer teams ready to staff the Day Center and several others in the background washing clothes at home, folding brochures, doing mailings, and other work. The Dwelling Place has a core group of 40 to 50 volunteers. We have a great volunteer base, Eddington said. She said they're not sure how many people to expect at the Day Center. She believes the number will be a slow progression, increasing in numbers until word gets out more about what they have to offer. The Dwelling Place Board estimates they could serve about 1,000 people a year. The Essentially Basic Hygiene and Household Care Pantry already serves about 300 people a month and distributes more than 1,000 products monthly. By the end of the school year, it will have provided products to about 4,000 students and distributed more than 13,000 products to schools. Pantry public distribution dates are 1 to 3 p.m., the first Friday of each month at the Multi-Agency Service Center in Hoopston, 2 to 4 p.m., the third Thursday of each month in Georgetown at Ritchie Manor Community Center, and the fourth Thursday of each month at a Danville location. The Danville Pantry started at Fair Oaks, but now travels to different locations for public distributions or to serve a particular facility. The next Danville public distribution is April at the Holy Family Food Pantry. Eddington said the pantry distributions are such a need. The volunteer receives thanks and hugs from the recipients. Another story on the front page. Dinner Pennies Fundraisers to Help Homeless. A unique fundraiser for the Dwelling Place will have people eating in the dark. The public is invited to be a light in the darkness for the people it serves. Celebrate Vermilion Dinner in the Dark will be at 6 p.m. on April 4th at the Bremers Conference Center in Danville Area Community College, located at 2000 East Main Street. Host presenters will be Newhoff Communications Incorporated, Chief Operating Officer Mike Hulvey, WDAN 1490 Newsmakers host Linda Bolton, Commercial News staff writer Carol Rame, and Larry Baum, Vermilion County Board Chairman and with Hoopston's WHPO Radio. Throughout the evening, past and present Vermilion County history will be presented in a unique way, and the Dwelling Place Board President Donna Eddington. She didn't want to give away too much about the night. "They will not know what they will be eating," she said, smiling. "There will be a 5-star, 6-course meal, gluten and nut-free, served in the dark, prepared by the DACC culinary students. The menu is great," Eddington said. "Also, a live auction will be items that feature the talents and skills of country artisans, farmers, craftspersons, and businesses. Auction baskets will include Vermilion Countryside, Vermilion Romance, Vermilion Sweets, Vermilion Treasures, Vermilion Veteran, Vermilion Blooms, Vermilion Dines, Vermilion Pampers, Its People, Vermilion Evenings, and Vermilion History." Eddington said they're items to get out and travel around Vermilion County. "The public can see how wonderful the county is," she said. The visionary sponsor for the event is McDonald's. Single tickets are $100. A reserve table for 6 is $750. Tickets are available at Barry's Garden Center in Danville, Flowers on Main in Georgetown, WHPO in Hoopston, and the Dwelling Place Day Center at 100 North Franklin Street in Danville. For information, call the Day Center at 217-213-5308 or Eddington at 217-495-2006. Another fundraiser starting in local schools is the second annual Penny's Pantry to benefit the Dwelling Place's Essential Basic Hygiene and Household Care Pantry. Children are asked to bring pennies between March 2nd and April 3rd. The pennies will help provide personal care and household cleaning products such as body wash, shampoo, toothpaste, and toothbrushes, dish soap, laundry soap, bathroom tissue, and disposable diapers to those in need, the homeless, and those near homelessness throughout Vermilion County. The school that reaches the highest percentage of its goal will be rewarded with a $500 gift underwritten by the C.H. Smith Insurance. The Dwelling Place is a faith-based ministry dedicated to the homeless and those at risk of homelessness, and to providing each person encountered acceptance, grace, compassion, and friendship. It's operated 100% by volunteers. The Dwelling Place has a Facebook page and also can be found online at https://www.thedwellingplace2017.us. And we have another article, Lions Chili Day Helps Local Groups. People can enjoy some homemade chili next week while helping local organizations. The Danville Lions Club plans its 48th annual Chili Day, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday at St. James United Methodist Church. Tickets are $6. The meal includes chili, a drink, and desserts, including former Mayor Bob Jones's bread pudding. Carryouts will be available. Club members also will collect used eyeglasses and hearing aids. Chartered in 1959, the club consistently has aspired to promote principles of wanting everyone to see a better tomorrow. Membership is open to men and women who wish to help achieve that vision. Funds are generated through Chili Day members' dues, Candy Day, and Diabetes Alert Day. The club aims to enrich the community and help individuals and organizations improve people's lives, including community assistance for the visually and hearing impaired, collecting used eyeglasses, hearing aids, cell phones, printer cartridges, and keys, and providing hearing and eye screenings at local schools and Head Start. The club also contributes to Feed the Children Backpack Program, American Diabetes Association, Christmas Food Baskets, United Way of Danville Area, and 9 of its agencies, Camp Lions, Special Olympics, Habitat for Humanity, Lions of Illinois Foundation, DACC Scholarships, Danville Public Library Foundation, Keep Vermilion County Beautiful, Downtown Danville Incorporated, Lori Lee Fellowship House, Vermilion County Museum, Vermilion County Conservation District Foundation, and other community services. And now we will look at the obituaries. Donna Sanders, 76, formerly of Cates, Indiana, passed away Tuesday, February 25th at St. Anthony's Healthcare in Lafayette, Indiana. Cremation was chosen with a private family viewing. Sanders' funeral care and trusted with care. You can share memories and condolences online. Ralph Pee Wee Drollinger, 87, of Hoopston, Illinois, passed away at 7:20 p.m. Monday, February 24th, at his home. A visitation will be from 2 to 5 p.m. Sunday, March 1st, at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hoopston, with Masonic rites being at 4:30 p.m. The funeral service will be at 11 a.m. Monday, March 2nd, at the funeral home, and burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Lewis Swallow, or Lewis A. Odie Swallow, 66, of Fairmount, passed away at 1 a.m. Monday, February 24th, surrounded by family at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Services to remember his life will be 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, February 27th, at the Masonic Lodge in Ogden, 111 Southeast Street. The Robinson Chapel in Catlin is handling the arrangements. Gary L. Crisp, 59, of Westville, passed away at 4:17 p.m. Monday, February 24th, at his home. A celebration of Gary's life will be at 2 p.m. Saturday, February 29, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville, 414 South State Street in Westville. Dave Hastings will be officiating the service. A visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, February 28, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in the Crown Hill Cemetery in Ridge Farm. Helen Elaine Flusy Hayworth, 92, of Georgetown, passed away at 8:50 a.m. Wednesday, February 26, at her home. A celebration of Helen's life will be at 11 a.m. Friday, February 28, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown, at 200 East West Street in Georgetown, with Pastor Ben Skinner officiating. Visitation will be held for 1 hour prior to her service at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in the Georgetown Cemetery. Frida E. Gray, 86, of Covington, passed away at 8:37 a.m., Tuesday, February 25th, at Autumn Trace Assisted Living in Attica, Indiana. Funeral services will be at noon Eastern Standard Time, Saturday, February 29, at Benson Chapel United Methodist Church, 7114 West U.S. Highway 136 in Covington, Indiana. Officiating will be Reverend Christina Bennett, and burial will be in the Lower Mound Cemetery, north of Perrysville, Indiana. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until time of services on Saturday, February 29, at the church. Ruth Campbell of Danville passed into eternal life on February 25th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Please join us for a memorial visitation 1 to 2 p.m. Saturday, February 29, at Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home at 10 East William Street in Danville. A celebration of life will be at 2 p.m. Saturday, with Pastor Patty Wise officiating. Per her wishes, she will be cremated. Memorials may be made in Ruth's name to the Forest Glen Preserve. Dennis Hinton, 69, of Georgetown, passed away at his home, surrounded by his family, at 1:40 p.m. Sunday, February 9. A memorial celebration of Dennis's life will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, February 29th, at the First Church of Christ Ministry Center at 503 North Main Street in Georgetown. He was accorded cremation rites, and his family was assisted by the Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown. James Jim Edward Long, 89, of Tilton, Illinois, went home to be with our Lord on Sunday, February 23rd, at his daughter's home in Tilton. A celebration of life will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, February 29, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Miles Clark will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park with full military rites accorded by the American Legion Post 210 Honor Guard. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, February 28, at the funeral home and 1 hour prior to the services. Andrew S. Letard, 30, of Danville, died at his residence on Monday, February 24th. A celebration of Andy's life will be at 3 p.m. Sunday, March 1st, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville at 414 South State Street in Westville. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. Sunday at the funeral home prior to his service. The family will be hosting a dinner in the ballroom of the Westville American Legion at 5 p.m. Sunday, March 1st. He will be laid to rest at 11 a.m. Monday, March 2nd, at St. Mary's Cemetery in Paris, Illinois. The family hopes to see everyone there and share their memories of Andy. Bonnie J. Johnson, 75, of Danville, died at 11:51 p.m. Wednesday, February 26, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the Roordvet Funeral Services in 23 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Sherry D. Miller, 59, of Tilton, died at 7:10 p.m. Saturday, February 22nd, at home. Funeral services and arrangements were incomplete at the Roordvet Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. And now we have an article from The State. The State takes proactive approach to coronavirus. The Illinois State Health Department says it is taking proactive steps against the spread of novel coronavirus as federal authorities warn that a spread of the virus in the U.S. is imminent. It's not so much a question of if this will happen anymore, but more really a question of when it will happen and how many people in this country will have severe illnesses, said Dr. Nancy Mezenier of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Tuesday, according to the transcripts. The 2019 coronavirus, called novel because it has not been observed in its current form prior to its spread in Wuhan, China, starting in December 2019, and has been named COVID-19 by authorities. Messenger said the virus has seen community spread in Hong Kong, Italy, Iran, Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, and Thailand, meaning it has been spreading among people without identifiable points of contact with the existing virus. She said the fact that the virus has caused illness resulting in death and has seen sustained person-to-person spread means it meets two criteria of being a pandemic. The world moves closer towards meeting the third criteria, worldwide spread of the new virus, she said. Messenger said the U.S. recently enacted quarantine measures regarding the virus, meaning the isolation of people who have been in contact with the virus or an area linked to it, but who were otherwise not symptomatic. We've also enacted the first quarantine of this scale in the U.S. and are supporting the State Department and Department of Health and Human Services in repatriating citizens from high-risk areas, she said. We are doing this with the goal of slowing the introduction of this new virus into the U.S. and buying us more time to prepare. To date, our contamination strategies have been largely successful. Still, she said, as more and more countries experience community spread, containment at U.S. borders becomes more difficult. I had a conversation with my family over breakfast this morning, and I told my children that while I didn't think that they were at risk right now, we as a family need to be preparing for significant disruption of our lives, she said. There's no vaccine for the virus and no medications approved to treat it, making non-pharmaceutical interventions important to stemming or slowing the spread of the virus. These include staying at home when sick, covering coughs and sneezes, frequent hand washing, and routinely cleaning frequently touched surfaces and objects. And we have one more article. State asks for a map hike. The State Commission that oversees higher education grants for low-income students detailed the diminishing buying power of state financial aid Thursday during a budget request hearing. Eric Zarnikow, executive director of the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, spent much of his testimony before a Senate Appropriations Committee breaking down the state's monetary award program grants, which apply to tuition and fees. The grants are available to eligible Illinois residents who demonstrate financial need and attend approved Illinois colleges, and they do not need to be repaid. MAP really does meet today's low-income Illinois students where they are, and it gets aid to the people that need it the most, Zarnikow said, later noting that MAP recipients graduate at about the same rate as other students enrolled in the same university. Zarnikow called a proposed funding spike a critical investment in the program, which is often the only avenue for low-income students to attend colleges, but added it is still not fully funded. The $50 million funding increase has helped, he said, as it is estimated that by the time fiscal year 2020 ends, on June 30th, the state will have served more than 10,000 more students than it did in the previous year. The average MAP grant allotment per student will have increased by about $260 as well. Pritzker's proposed budget calls for 15% of MAP funding of $75 million total to be set aside for community colleges, which Zarnikow said should be enough to cover tuition and fees for all the eligible college students when combined with available federal grants. This has been Jean St. Peter with the commercial news of Vermilion County for Friday, February 28th, 2020. I look forward to reading with you again soon.